Welcome to the Modern Mommy Doc Podcast. I'm Dr. Whitney Caceres. I'm a full-time pediatrician and a full-time modern mom. I speak and write about equipping mamas to raise resilient, healthy children and to invest in their own social-emotional health along the way. Each week, we'll give you the practical tools you need to win at parenting without losing yourself. Welcome back to the Modern Mommy Doc Podcast. Today, I'm talking with Amy Gretschmiel, and I'm so happy to have her with me. She is the founder and CEO of CorporateMomCoach.com, and I'm really excited to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Whitney. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, so Amy, you and I think are very aligned in terms of what we're hoping for moms, which is to have more ease and a reclaimed sense of self in motherhood, especially for working moms. And I would love to hear your story. I want to hear kind of what brought you to that place, what made you so mission focused?
Yeah. So I was in corporate for 18 years and I had my first child when I was 35. So I already had like a pretty established career. I was already in kind of like mid-level management by that point. And, you know, at that age, I was really pretty much my identity was around my career. It was such a big part of who I was. And it wasn't necessarily a problem for me up until that point. But when I became a mother, it was a very, very real like internal shift that happened. And more of a kind of like a curiosity or a series of questions of like, okay, how do I want to show up in this new role? Because how I was showing up in my career and the tools that I was using there didn't necessarily always apply for me as a mother. And so I had to learn new tools and really like a new way of showing up and being as a mom. And so that's really when I started working with coaches myself. And, you know, I was so amazed at the results I was getting from coaches. And this is even after like a decade of therapy. So, you know, because everybody always has stuff to work on and therapy is a wonderful, beautiful thing. But I mean, at some points I didn't feel like I was really getting anywhere. And so when I became a parent, that's really when I like doubled down on my own internal skill set and mindset tools and started to learn new, you know, techniques and teachings and methods that I could apply to my new identity. And it really transformed my life. And I just became, you know, really hooked on personal development, personal growth, and how to apply it to motherhood. And, you know, fast forward 6 years later, my daughter actually just turned six this week. And I've created this own business and brand myself to help other women based on what I went through myself.
Yeah. I feel like that the most successful people, right, are usually the people who have had that same pain point themselves and they realize how valuable it is for somebody else. I want to hear more about your career before you started all of this, because you must have had some pain points in it that made you like create the shift once you became a mom. What were you doing? Like, where were you specifically? What was your role? What were you up to?
Yeah. So I was in management consulting for about 10 years right after college. And then after that, I went into financial services and I was a VP of a banking institution before I left in 2020. That was my last role before I became an entrepreneur and started my own business as a coach. And I love my career. I mean, I love my corporate career. I think, you know, corporate kind of can get a bad rap, especially nowadays, but I really enjoyed my corporate career. I like the challenges and the people, and I always made sure to align myself to teams and leaders who I respected and companies that, you know, valued their people. And so for me, my corporate career was really an amazing one. It was just that when I entered into this new role as a parent, it was like, it was kind of like a punch in the gut of like, whoa, okay, how is this going to look now? How is this going to work now? And I I think one thing that frustrated me was that there's such a big message out there, and it's such a big part of like mom culture that it has to be overwhelming, right? Mm-hmm. And that it has to be hard. And I did not want to subscribe to that. I was like, there has to be a better way around this. Like, let's make this experience enjoyable, because it's not going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
So let's really lean into this. And I became really, really committed to my own wellness, physical, mental, emotional, so that I could be both a parent and, you know, a career woman the best that I could, and really enjoy both worlds and both processes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that I've been thinking a lot about this idea of like kind of the hot mess mom, or the idea of the overwhelmed, overburdened mom, and how it's almost like, I don't want to say an excuse, but it's almost like a trope or like a badge of camaraderie. Like if you're not feeling stressed, then you almost might feel embarrassed about it, or that like you don't fit in with everybody else. I know that sometimes when I hop on the conversations that we have, or even just when I'm talking with girlfriends, and like, oh man, I've just been starting my holiday shopping and I'm already starting to feel overwhelmed. They're like, I'm not. Like, why are you starting holiday shopping right now? It's, you know, at the time of recording, it's like, it's October. What are you doing? Like, it's like, quit it. You know what I mean? Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that does take a shift in mindset of like, like recognizing or having some awareness around when you're maybe falling into old thinking patterns or into like what everybody says, and deciding for yourself what you want to do.
100%.
Yeah. I want to hear about your experience with like the therapists versus the coaches, because I agree with you. I think there's a place for each thing. And I see a therapist. I love my therapist. She's amazing. But there are certain things that coaches are better trained to help people with, especially if you like more specific issues that people are trying to deal with in terms of like problem solving around things. So tell me about your experience there.
Yeah, 100%. So the main difference between therapy and coaching, as I've experienced it and as I apply it and describe it, is therapy tends to focus so much on the past, right? Like what happened in your past that got you to where you are today. And that's great for creating awareness and understanding part of who you are today, right? That's that's really like its main purpose. And if there's, you know, something to solve there, then you can then apply attention there to solve it.
Right.
But what I found was that oftentimes with therapy, you'll just keep going over the same thing, like over and over and over again, right? Like, it wasn't necessarily creating like, you know, real lasting change or awareness. And that was the main difference from coaching, because when I started working with coaches at 35, when I had my first child, it was amazing because it had a goal orientation. And, you know, being in corporate, I was all about goals, right? And I was like, wait, so I get to, you know, kind of design this how I want it to look, and I get to choose how I want to feel and choose how I want to think. And I'm not, you know, a victim of my circumstances or my past or whatever it is. And it had a real goal orientation, taking what you knew about your past, but then reframing it for something new, right? And new desired result. And so that's really, really where I started to dig deep too into the mindset component. And that's that many coaches, like that's what they kind of preach, right? Like that's what's a big part of coaching, is the mindset component. And so when you learn the mindset tools that can help you reach a goal or get your desired results in life, whether that's, you know, how you want to feel or something external, like a new house or a new car or a new job or whatever, but the tools are the same. But, you know, I didn't learn those tools until I was like 35. And I was like, why has no one told me this? You know, how really our thoughts are informing our feelings, or our feelings are informing our behaviors, and our behaviors are informing our results. It's called the TFAR model. And I was like, what? You know, why is no one talking about this? It was so powerful. And so it obviously like goes so much deeper, but just that tool alone was really, really transformative for me.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like that is a yes and approach, right? So I have found the same thing that sometimes in therapy, it's like, well, yeah, sucks for you. You know, your parents messed up in that area. We need to practice a lot of acceptance around that. And I'm like, yeah, but now I want to move forward. So right. I feel like that forward momentum mm-hmm. is what I am getting. It is the difference between the it two is. And what I've experienced as well. I want to hear about either tools, additional tools that you've learned or tools that you talk about with your own clients that you mm-hmm. think are super valuable that again, you don't want any other woman listening to this podcast to live without. And mm-hmm. we can go over them in as brief or as deep a way as you want to. I just want them to be able to even have it so they can Google it and look it yeah. up and be able to start exploring it for themselves and start finding a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. So hands down, the most powerful mindset tool that I learned is called the TFAR model. So it was created by Brooke Castillo at the Life Coach School. And basically it stands for thoughts, feelings, actions, results, right? And so what kind of informs all that or what you would apply it to is you would think about a circumstance in your life. So a circumstance could be like the baby woke up at 5 a.m. Right? Mm-hmm. That's a circumstance. It's just a fact. It is what it is, right? It's a fact. Another circumstance could be, you know, my boss is running late, whatever it is. Another example of a circumstance. Now, oftentimes we have certain feelings about these circumstances, right? We have these automatic feelings, which are actually being informed by these automatic thoughts. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but the biggest like, aha here or game changer is that we as human beings have the ability to choose our thoughts or our interpretations around a circumstance. So the baby waking up at 5 a.m. is actually not good or bad. It's actually just a neutral fact. But we get to choose which thought or interpretation we apply to that fact, right? So if we are in the habit of thinking negative thoughts or thinking thoughts that put us in a place of like victimhood or resignation, then that is then going to inform how we feel mm-hmm. on a daily basis. And so it's really, really, really important to not only manage your time, everyone's always focused on managing time, but I actually think the more important concept to really embody is to manage your mindset. Manage your mindset. So you can always tell, you can do this all throughout the day, but you can always tell based on how you're feeling, right? So that's always your entry point. Like, how am I feeling? Like, how am I feeling about this? Am I feeling annoyed that my boss is running late? Am I feeling annoyed that the baby woke up at mm-hmm. 5? And it's not to say that you can't feel annoyed about that, but you get to choose how long you let that last. And you get to choose to change your thought process or your interpretation around that circumstance.
Yeah, totally. And to have awareness about it. So, okay, I'm just thinking about yesterday. We have in my schedule, it's very much set for me, right? So when I come in to see patients in my office, there will be like 15 patients that are on the schedule. And I get a little bit of choice, maybe if someone calls like a month ahead and says, how much time do you want for this patient? But by and large, it's chosen for me. Mm-hmm. And throughout the day, it has a running ticker at the top of how many patients there are for the day. And it goes up or down depending on what notes I've signed or how much left mm-hmm. I have to do. And it used to annoy the heck out of me when the number would go up because I kind of wanted it to be like, I start with a certain number yeah. and then it goes down throughout the day and I actually make progress.
Right.
And so I agree with you that there is this moment that I realized I am feeling annoyed all day because my mindset is mm-hmm. that, and my thought automatically is someone has done something wrong to me mm-hmm. by continually adding patients onto my schedule, mm-hmm. as opposed to having the mindset, oh, yay, I get to help additional people today. Or even, oh, yay, my business gets to make additional revenue. And I get to have a larger bonus at the end of the year because I have more patients today, right? Not that people love thinking about patients in terms of money, but we are a business. Right. And so it does matter. And so the minute that I was able to recognize, wow, I don't really want to feel annoyed all day long. That's a terrible way to work. Was the minute I got to make a choice or at least start to explore, get curious around it.
Yes.
And then say, is there something I could do to change this thought pattern?
Yeah.
Do I need to approach it
differently? Yeah. How can I look at this differently? It's that simple. How can I look at this differently? That's such a great example. And it's so true. And we can apply this in so many areas of our life. And, you know, another way to kind of look at this too is, you know, sometimes the circumstances are the things that are external to us, right? So things that are outside of our control. But sometimes the circumstances like aren't even that obvious, but the mindset work can become really, really powerful and important because when we have things that we think we should be doing, like how many times do moms say, well, I should be doing this. I should be sending an email after the baby goes to bed. I should be hopping online. I should be playing all these shoulds, right? And the reality is like, that only exists in your mind.
Yeah.
Right? That only exists in your mind. So when you gain awareness around the things you think you should be doing, and if there are things that you should be doing that don't make you feel a certain way, then you may want to explore what your mindset is around that should and whether or not it still serves you. Because oftentimes we do things earlier in life that we do or should do or someone told us to do, right? And then we apply it in our adult life as shoulds, as shoulds, and it may not any longer serve us, right? It might not, that mode or that mindset may not serve us anymore as to where we are today, especially in motherhood, especially managing a career, the house, the home, like all the things. So it's just another way to look at it, just really the power of mindset and how when you change your mindset, you can really, really change how you feel. That then informs the different behaviors or actions that you take. And ultimately, that changes your results.
Mama, it is here and available for download. It's the new Modern Mamas Club app. We are so ready to join you on your personal journey from conflicted to centered. We want to take you on an evidence-based path from feeling conflicted all the time, from feeling pulled in all kinds of directions, from feeling burnt out to feeling really purposeful and aligned as you move through your working motherhood experience, no matter what is happening around you. So go check it out in the App Store.
This is especially important for women, I think, because we have so many shoulds that are put upon us in terms of appearance, in terms of the way that we are pleasing to other people, in terms of the way that we keep our home. Nobody can see me right now except for you. But, you know, I just got out of the shower. I told you when we came to record this. And today I have a busy day. I'm flying to Ohio. I'm going to be gone for 36 hours. I wanted to get a workout in before we did this. So then I had the energy to do the work that I wanted to do once I'm on the airplane. And I knew that I would probably like succumb, which would have been fine, but like succumb to watching a movie on the plane if I had not got my energy up. So here I am.
You look great.
Yeah. But you know, like showing up in a like quote unquote unprofessional way. And the thought did come in my mind, like, well, I should get fully ready.
No.
Why? Nobody cares.
No.
Only people are going to see you on our Instagram. Yeah. Like it does not matter.
And I certainly don't care. I think you look great, but even if I did, right? Like even if I did, like it doesn't matter, right? It's what I think of you, right? Is actually none of your business or my, you know what I mean? Like everybody has their own interpretation of life and their experience. But, and that's the thing, it really doesn't matter, but we get in our heads about what we think other people may think.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think that's like the gift of your 40s, honestly, is like the not giving two F's anymore. I mean, like, I'm just going to live my life. I don't care what you guys think. I'm showing up like this. Okay. Are there other mindset tools or skills that you think are like so valuable? I think that alone, if honestly, we just gave people that, is like good enough, but I know you have more goals.
Yeah. So the TFAR model is really like the go-to. Now, in order to apply it, right? In order to apply it, sometimes it will work for everything. I mean, it's truly like how to solve any problem. It's like change your mindset, change the quality of your thoughts, change your life. I mean, it's really how it works. But sometimes it can be challenging for people, especially when you have been operating in a certain mindset for a really, really, really long time, years, decades, you know, especially if it's around like a certain thing in your life, whether it's your health or your wealth or your husband or your job, whatever it is, you know, so those thought patterns can be very, you know, run on loop in your head, and you might not even be aware of what they are. Mm-hmm. And so one practical tool that I encourage and something that I do every day is meditate, and just a simple mindfulness meditation, because the beauty of meditation and the thing about meditation is there's so many different types and so many different ways of, I shouldn't say ways. I mean, the way is the same. You just sit down and close your eyes. It's the most simple thing ever, but there's different purposes or intent, right? But even just a simple mindfulness meditation is you sit down and you just simply learn to just observe your thoughts and what they are. And the more you do that, the more you see of like, you know, kind of just think of them as like clouds floating by, right? And you get to decide like which one you want to attach onto. And so when you sit down and learn to be still and just observe your thoughts as neutral, then you can more deliberately apply which thoughts are useful to you throughout the day. But the thing about meditation, I say it's like, there's one thing mothers should be doing that would benefit their overall quality of life. In my opinion, it's meditation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of time scarcity thoughts out there with moms. I don't have time. I don't have time to work out. I don't have time for myself. I don't have time for all these things. Fine. You can believe that if you want. But the reality is meditation, just a 10 to 15 minute meditation takes less time than going to the gym. And I think it's equally, if not more powerful for our overall well-being. So I am a big proponent of meditation. It's something I encourage all my clients to do. And it's truly, truly remarkable. And it helps with that mindset management component, which ultimately informs how we feel on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look up like how many people actually meditate every day. And I'm going to say the percentage is like, you know, 1%. It is one of those things that is so easy to do and yet so easy to not do because you get caught up in other things. And the research on it is staggering. We just had Dr. Heather Rhodes on the podcast, and she was talking about the way that our hormones influence our weight and influence our stress levels and influence like our sleep and all of these different things. We're talking about, you know, there's the hormones that are like estrogen, progesterone, but also the hormones like cortisol, stress hormones that influence those things, and how basically we have to remind our bodies that we're in a resting phase in order for them to not have to like ramp up so high in other moments. And so mindfulness is one of those things that allows your body so easily to say, I'm safe. I'm here. I'm in this moment. How do you meditate? Like in it, like specifically, do you just close your eyes and be quiet? Do you use an app? Do you have music? Do you use like movement? What's your meditation?
So what I recommend, I use the Insight Timer app. It's a free app. It's amazing. It actually tells you, if I were to pull it up, it actually tells you how many people are meditating using the app in the world in that moment. It's a global app, right? And it'll tell you how many people are using it like at that time. There's thousands of meditations on there, thousands, all different types, right? You can select if you can select the length of time. And this is a free app, by the way. You can select the length of time. You can select with or without music. You can select a man's voice or a woman's voice. You can select, you know, the type. So I always say just start with a simple like mindfulness meditation, 10 minutes for beginners. And that can really, really take you a long way. And the best thing about meditation is, and most people don't know this, is it's cumulative. It's cumulative. So just like physical exercise, like if you were to go to the gym and work out your physical body, you would never get results after 1 or 2 days, or if you went 1 to 2 days in a month, right? You wouldn't get any results or change. But if you went every day for a month, and let's say you were working on your legs and you did squats every day for a month, you would have a noticeable improvement in your strength in your legs by the end of the 30 days. And the same is true for meditation. I say it's like going to the mental gym. It's like going to the mental gym. The more you go, the more you do it, the more you get out of it. So it will bring you more of that better feeling mood. It'll bring you more of that ability to discern, to manage your mindset so that, you know, everything that's going on around us, all the circumstances aren't kind of managing us.
Totally. And there's a billion meditation apps out there. You could use the Calm app. You could use Headspace. One of my favorites is Mindful Mamas because they have like reminders to meditate and to rest that come to your phone. And they have ones that are specific about all the different stages of motherhood and emotions that come with motherhood. If you're a Peloton junkie like me, they have mindfulness on there. So it doesn't have to be difficult. A lot of times I will meditate even in the car, which I don't close my eyes, but I, you know, just turn off the radio and like, that's like the traffic is moving by me. It's like a river. I just pretend like it's a river, you know? So it doesn't have to even be that you sit like a yogi in a yin position and, you know, like get all woo-woo. It's, you know, the other thing I want to remind people is, when you are first starting to meditate or when you're first starting to build awareness about these thought patterns that you have so that you can take on this mindset tool you were talking about, you are going to come up with some like ugly thoughts that then you're going to get kind of mad at yourself that you have. So like judgy at yourself that you have. And that's so normal. And so that's the moment to practice self-compassion and to keep going with it, right? Yes. Again, like the gym. Like, of course, when you start working your legs, it feels like totally terrible to do squats.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable at first, especially when you're just getting started. So that's why I love making that analogy to the physical gym, because that's uncomfortable too if you're first getting started, right?
Right.
But then you do it long enough through consistency, you start to see the results. And now, in addition to the results, now it's also become a habit. And you see what it feels like when you do it versus when you don't. And so it's just so powerful. And give, like you said, give yourself self-compassion. I always say, you know, when you observe things in meditation, whether it's, you know, like negative thoughts or opinions or, you know, because they're all just opinions and stories that exist in our mind. It's not always truth, but our mind doesn't know that. We believe things to be true. And so it then informs all these interpretations we have about life and people. But anyway, to really apply that self-compassion as a scientist. Be a scientist, not a judge, right?
Right.
Remove the judgment and be a scientist to, you know, your thought patterns, and just know how much power and freedom you have to choose a thought process that supports you and serves you, whether it's in your career or in your mom life.
Totally. All right. So I asked you before you came on the show, we always ask guests a series of questions. If there was a quote that you live by or that has especially inspired you in your line of work, and you said the pain of discipline is far less than the pain of regret. And that's from Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. Tell me about why that's something that inspires you or that you live by.
Yeah. So, I mean, that even applies to like what we were just talking about. When I think about that quote, I actually apply it to self-care. I don't apply it to doing more like this hustle culture, like, you know, be disciplined about completing that client deliverable or that PowerPoint present. No,
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, I apply it to self-care for ourselves because we mm-hmm. can't do any of those things unless we're first taking care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I see mothers put themselves last. I did too in the beginning, right? And so, you know, reminding ourselves that, like, yes, sometimes it's going to be inconvenient to hop on the Peloton or to sit down and meditate or, you know, just make sure that we're like checking in with our own mental health or mindfulness. Sometimes it's not going to be convenient and it's going to feel like it's just another thing we have to do. But the reality is we do these things because they enable us to show up as we want to show up or show up, you know, in a more positive, healthy way in other areas of our life. Mm-hmm. And so it all starts with us. And so the pain of discipline, of being disciplined about our own self-care, is far easier than the pain of regret. And so there's going to be pain either way. So it's like kind of choose your heart. Which pain do you want? Like the clean pain or the dirty pain?
Totally. I know. You know, what's interesting, when I read that quote that you put there, the first thing that came up for me was the idea of the pain of taking up space for myself. Mm. And I mean that, I mean, like self-care basically is one way to do that. But the other way I think that shows up is taking up space in conversations in my business, you know, like saying my opinion. And that sometimes that's painful when people go, well, I don't know, you know, but you're like, but it was important that I said it, because later on when it, you know, comes back to bite us all, I'm going to be glad that I said it, or to continue to not back down to, if someone says, well, I don't know, to say, well, I want to just explain my reasoning behind it because blah, 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 or to take up space with my kids. Yesterday I had a mom that came into my office and her 11-year-old daughter just like snapped at her and was talking in a very rude way to her. And I said, hey, whoa. We got to remember to be kind to our moms. And the mom looked at me and goes, thank you so much. No one ever stands up for me in my house. And I was like, girlfriend, you have to stand up for yourself. Yeah. But that was a painful lesson I had to learn with my own kids, because you're so tired as a mom. Mm-hmm. I think the reason you do that is because, like, you know, your kids yell or your kids do stuff and you're like, oh my gosh, I just can't, like, I can't fight any more battles. But when you do start to take up space for your self-care, for your own feelings, for your own needs, it does make it so I think you're able to see more clearly, one, that the stories or narratives you've been telling yourself for a long time, your thoughts, your automatic thoughts, haven't been serving you. Mm-hmm. And two, to me, that's the thing that like gave me perspective. It's like, instead of being in the, like a little mouse hole, I was standing on top of like a big cliff looking out into the world of like, I do not have to be trapped by all this junk that people mm-hmm. say I have to do as a mom.
Right.
Like, I don't care.
It's back to the shoulds. Right.
Yes.
That's right. And we get to decide what, you know, where we take up space and what we should or should not be doing.
Yeah, completely. Okay. The other thing that you said is, if you could go back 5 years, that you would tell your younger self to relax.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
To relax. Yeah. Just, I mean, less of the doing mm-hmm. and just more of who you're being. You know, we feel like we need to be doing things in order to, you know, show how successful or productive we are. But the reality is it's our true, you know, joy, happiness, fulfillment is going to come from those softer skills, those intangibles that we experience in life, not so much what we're producing. And so like when I was in corporate, I was, you know, I was a producer, right? I was always doing things and sending emails at like 11 o'clock at night, like all these, you know, crazy things. Right. And I didn't have to, mm-hmm. I put all these, you know, shoulds on myself unnecessarily. And so I wish, because there's a lesson in all of it. Right. But I mm-hmm. would tell my younger self to just relax.
I agree with that. I think also relaxing in terms of the timing, like things will come when they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. If maybe it's just like the influencer culture that's made it so that it looks like people just like make it like that, or that businesses happen like that, or maybe this pressure to lean in where it feels like if I don't, I'm going to have kids later. So I have to work as hard as I can and like climb the corporate ladder as fast as I can, because otherwise I'm going to have the wage pay gap and then we're going to have a, you know, like, but gosh, like relax. It's going to be okay. You're going to, in your own time, if you are able to slow down, you're going to be able to step into the things that are uniquely yours to do in this lifetime.
Yes. And you're going to feel better along the way. And like, isn't that the ultimate gift, right? I mean, who wants to live a life full of like stress and overwhelm? I mean, I did at points, and I, like I said, it worked until it didn't, and it didn't work anymore. I made a decision that that's not how I wanted to operate once I became a mom. And I was very deliberate about that. Not to say, you know, I don't have those moments of stress and overwhelm. I certainly do, but I don't live there, right? It's choice. It's a choice, but it's a daily choice. And you choose it over and over and over again, you know, how you want to feel and how you want to show up on a daily basis through the mindset management.
I love it. This is so good. Absolute gold. Amy, tell our listeners where they can find out more about you. Tell us, like, what is the breadth of your work? Like, do you work with people nationally? Is it only people in a specific area? Who would be the perfect person to come seek you out to work with you?
Yeah. So you can learn more about me at corporatemomcoach.com. So I actually currently offer a complimentary 30-minute clarity call. So if you're interested in chatting one-on-one with me, you can set up a call. The link is on my website. And I, based on where you are, I have a one-on-one coaching program right now. It's a 3-month coaching program for working parents. I do work with men sometimes too on a selective basis, working dads. And then I also do corporate webinars. So I find that that's a great way to kind of get this information in front of a lot of people in a corporate setting. And because these tools can be applied to your, not only your mom life, but your work life as well. And so between both of those offerings, you know, we can chat more about what may suit you best, whether it's something to bring to your organization or if you want to work with me in a one-on-one capacity.
Awesome. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you all next time.
Thank you so much, Whitney.
Hey, Mama. If you want more of the Modern Mommy Doc podcast, make sure that you click subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. We'd also be so honored if you shared with your friends and on social media with the hashtag Modern Mommy Doc. If you share about something that inspired you or that you learned from the podcast, we'll be sure to share it on our social media as well. Thanks for listening.